Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray for every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for their past, present, future spouses also, and all the children they have now and the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict each person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus Christ, please reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then, Father, help every person to get into a good Bible-believing teaching church. They'd then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian will become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And Father, we're praying for your people to receive and fully walk in the blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we're in perfect agreement for this, and we thank you for it by faith in Jesus' name. And Father, we want to pray for our nation. We say, God bless the United States of America. Heavenly Father, we declare you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare, Lord Jesus, you're Lord of our lives. You're Lord of our families. You're Lord of our church. You're Lord of our states we live in. And you're the Lord of America. We declare that. And we cry out for that end-time revival, for many souls to be brought in, Lord Jesus, before the rapture happens. And we're in agreement for that. Father, thank you for your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and all his cabinet appointees, past, present, future. We're praying for them and all their families to be born-again believers, Holy Spirit baptized and filled, growing in the Lord. And Father, may your hand be upon them, and whether they understand it or not, Father, they'll make all their decisions based upon the truth of the Word of God and our Constitution, and you would give them great boldness. And we agree for that right now, and you would protect them also. Also, Father God, we ask you to continue to bless the efforts of Donald Trump and the ICE agents, that you would continue, Father, to expose and bring to light every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, drug trafficker, sex trafficker, everyone who has come into America to do evil and harm. Father, please bring them into the light, and may they be driven out of this country to come back no more, in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we know we're in the end times, perilous times, so we ask your continued hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, in Jesus' name, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water, and continue to give us abundance of rain. And please, Father, protect over our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. And we agree together, Father, don't let any person, group, or nation poison, hack, diminish, destroy, evil affect any of these resources. And Father, if any person, group, or nation tries to do it, you'll stop them, you'll shut them down, and their efforts would be futile. And we declare that in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We love the Jewish people. We pray that they would all enter into a born-again relationship with you, Lord Jesus, and they would truly see you are their Messiah, you are Savior and Lord, and be born again and Spirit-filled. We agree, Father God, right now that they have title deed to all the land of Canaan, please restore all that land to them and give that revelation to Donald Trump and his administration. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, if any person or group tries to harm the Jewish people, the nation Israel, any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And Father, if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And Father, give the United States and Israel complete victory in Iran. Destroy that the wicked religion over Iran and bring Christianity and godly leadership to Iran. We're agreeing for that right now. Give a swift and quick victory and protect our military people. Keep them safe, healthy, and strong. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. Oh, I love this Sunday, don't you? Celebrating Jesus' resurrection. You know, that's everything to us. In fact, that's really everything to the whole world. Everything we have as far as our future and eternity is based on Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Let's get into it. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, I love how John writes, he knew that Jesus loved him. Do you know intimately that Jesus loves you? And has you received that love? If not, do so. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not whether they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. So John's faster than Peter. Just thought you'd want to know. And came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying there. And the cloth that was laid about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Let me comment right here. Jesus had told them, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, he had told them he was going to die for them. But they didn't understand it. They couldn't receive it. But now John gets it. So, you know, sometimes God tells us things and we just can't receive it at the time. But now he's got it. Okay. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Oh, that's powerful, isn't it? And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then, the same day at evening, meaning the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. You recognize how many times that when Jesus shows up, people can get pretty excited or pretty stirred up, even fearful. But what does Jesus speak to you? He speaks peace. Peace means shalom. That means well-being in every area of your life. Oh, receive Jesus' peace now. Amen? So he says, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I think so. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he saith unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know, that was a wrong decision. But he didn't believe what the other disciples told him. But because God has ordained for him to know, God was merciful. Notice verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, here it is again, "Peace be unto you." Then he said unto Thomas, "Reach here thy finger and behold my hands, and reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." But Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Who's he talking about? Jesus. Jesus Christ is God. No one on planet Earth knows God except they come through Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to Father," that's Father God, "but by me," only through Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Savior and Lord. Jesus is the only way to know Father God, because Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And that's how God set it up. Okay. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and I, right? Okay. "And many other signs true did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Pardon me. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." We'll talk about that. Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. "And that believing you might have life." That means eternal life. That means go to heaven when you die. Praise God. "Through his name." What name? Jesus Christ. All right, let's break this down. Good news, we as Christians serve a risen Savior. You know, some people, and I recognize even the granddaughter, right? Well, when did Jesus come about? Well, Jesus has always existed. Jesus was with the Father in the beginning. In the beginning, the Godhead, Father God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit have always existed. They're the Godhead. They are God. One God, three personages in the Godhead. In fact, John made that clear going back to the first chapter in John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, so this Word was God. "The same was in the beginning with God." See, I didn't make that up, did I? "All things were made by him." And you know this is Jesus, right? Okay. "And without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus Christ made you. Okay. Jump down to verse 9. "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him." So much for evolution. And no, I didn't say that wrong. Okay. Jesus Christ made the world. Wake up. You know, some of these intellectuals are the most ignorant people on planet Earth, and many of them are going to die and go to hell. Why would you ever listen to them? "He was in the world, and the world was made by him," Jesus Christ, "and the world knew him not." Verse 11 is kind of a sad verse, but it's good for us as Gentiles. "He came into his own, and his own received him not." That means the Jewish people. As a nation, the Jewish people rejected Jesus. Oh, but they're going to have their eyes open during the tribulation. But that's another message. Verse 12. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the children of God or sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here's verse 14, lets you know it was Jesus. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became man. We call that the incarnation, okay? And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ has always existed because he's God. But he became man so he could die on a cross and raise again the third day, resurrection, so we could have eternal life. In fact, you understand that Jesus is the reason you're still alive. This should bring great comfort to you. The book of Hebrews. You ought to love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's Jesus Christ. Whom he, God the Father, has appointed heir of all things. That's Jesus. By whom also he made the worlds. Father God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, made the worlds together. Okay, all right. Who being the brightness of his glory, talking about Jesus, the express image of his person. That means Jesus Christ is God, a very God. Do you understand that? And here's the good news. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Do you know Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power? That's why you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the future. You just need to love Jesus and walk with him. He'll take care of you. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. But let's finish the sentence. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you know that's where Jesus is right now? Seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you and I. Oh, that is such good news. But first of all, let's talk about Jesus' divine purpose. What did he come to accomplish? Two or three scriptures that I think spell it out pretty good. We'll go back to John chapter 1 really quick. John chapter 1, verse 29. Jesus shows up on the scene. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, that's Jesus, who taketh away the sin of the world. You know Jesus has already paid for every sin that's ever been committed. Why would you not receive the forgiveness for your sins? Why would you want to stand before God guilty of all those wicked, nasty things and then your name not be in the Lamb's Book of Life because you didn't accept Jesus? And Jesus has to say to you, depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting hell desired for the by the devil and his, or prepared for the devil and his angels. So why would you want to do that? Jesus came to save you from your sins. He is the Savior. Another good word, Jesus says it himself, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's all humanity. Everybody needs to know Jesus, don't they? Here's another good verse, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. We'll start verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, remember he died, before he rose again he had to die, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. See, Father God's not going to let you in heaven because you're dirty and filthy. But what Father God did, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit agreed, that Jesus would come, the perfect sacrifice, live the perfect life, do the miracles, proving he was the Son of God, but then go to the cross and shed his blood, that Father God says, okay, I accept the blood of my Son Jesus to forgive mankind for their sins, but you still have the choice whether you receive it or not. You can die in your sins, or you can say, no, thank you, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. Yes, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash them in your precious blood. And Lord, I'm going to live for you. Amen. Who wouldn't want to do that, right? We're talking about Jesus' divine purpose. How about Acts chapter 10, verse 38? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. We're supposed to do that, right? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, sickness and sin is oppression of the devil. And Jesus came to save, heal, and deliver us. And you know, he did it. And he's provided that for you and I. Amen. Is that good purpose that he came? How about one more? 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Did you know that? For this purpose, here it is. For this purpose, the Son of God, who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ, was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin, death, disease, poverty. Jesus paid for all these things to be taken care of, that you and I can be blessed, healthy, strong, forgiven, live for God. And then after this life, because of the resurrection of Jesus, go to heaven and be with the Lord. And then get to come back. After the rapture of the church, we'll be in heaven for 7 years, but then we come back with Jesus on white horses, Revelation 19, and we get to rule and reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. And then the devil's loosed for a season. I don't want to get into that. And then that gets that rebellion is taken care of. And then here comes the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, eternity with Father God. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a Christian? Who wouldn't want Jesus? How crazy, right? But we mentioned that word that Jesus kept speaking, peace. The word peace means shalom, which means every kind of good health, welfare, prosperity, and safety. Did you know that? Now understand this. You get peace with God when you get saved, when you repent and receive Jesus. Here it is. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a permanent peace. That's a judicial peace based on the blood of Jesus. But here's something you got to walk in that the devil could try to steal away from you, and that's the peace of God. Losing your joy and peace. That happens to Christians. But here's the answer, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here it is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you got to be taking all your burdens and problems to Jesus with thanksgiving, right? And then also how you think. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we got to guard our thought life. Remember, the battle is for our minds. You know, Satan has demons that tempt you and put thoughts in your mind that are not your own. And sometimes they kind of freak you out. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Well, that's the devil. Just like God tries to speak to us, the devil tries to speak to us and get our lives into a mess. But let's go back to what we're celebrating, resurrection. Jesus died and rose again because he lives forever. Now we get to live forever with him if we'll trust in him. In fact, Jesus made this quite clear. Remember when he raised Lazarus from the death? Dead. John chapter 11, we'll start verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Talking about Lazarus. Jesus said unto her, have you got this revelation? I am the resurrection and the life. That's eternal life. He that believeth in me, Jesus Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Yes. You see, the resurrection is not just an event. The resurrection is a person. Oh, will this really happen to me too? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Oh, just read God's word. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's Holy Spirit. And if you are born again, you have Holy Spirit. Okay. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, Holy Spirit, shall also give life to your mortal body. That's you and I who have received him. By his spirit that dwelleth in you, an ever bona fide child of God has the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will raise you up one day. But also, it's a little deeper. The Holy Spirit also gives us life now. Jesus heals us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Grace is given by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can be healed also by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's life is in you now. That's why Jesus went around healing people from every sickness and every disease. Is the resurrection very important? Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives this argument, letting you know that resurrection is everything. But if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, this is how important it is, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Well, the good news is, he did die in resurrection, and he appeared to all the apostles, and he appealed to over 500 brethren. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15. And how do we know he's real? Because the Holy Spirit convicts us and makes Jesus alive and real to each one of us. As we read the Word of God, as people pray for us, as people witness, the Holy Spirit takes that and makes Jesus alive and real to you and I. And we realize Jesus is the Savior and Lord. I want him to be my Savior and Lord. And then you repent and get saved and begin to walk in a love relationship with Jesus. But it's all based not just on his birth, but on his death, burial, and resurrection. And because he lives forever, we get to live forever with him, as well as with all our family members and friends who have received Jesus too. We get to live forever in Jesus in heaven and be with him forever. But that's only if Jesus lives in you. Does Jesus live in you? If you're not sure, let's take care of that. Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to live in me. I want to go to heaven. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I come to you right now. I repent of all my sins. I believe it's your blood that washes away my sins. And I believe you died for me and rose again. Jesus, come into my heart now. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.